bum, bum, bum. Oh, hey there, audience. I didn't expect to see you there at our predetermined time in which I informed you of on the internets. How's everybody going? It is Q here with yet another amazing episode of The Last Word, the only game show on the Project Nerd Network. I would like to introduce you all to some guests that we have joining us this evening. Some may be familiar, some may be brand new, but all are extremely interesting. Joining us again for the second time, we have Mr. Z. What's happening, Mr. Z?
You know what? I'm just hanging out, almost started talking on mute. I happened to log into the internet and found a link in my email, and I thought I'd click it. That just made the most sense to someone like me.
Absolutely.
Let my antivirus do its work. And I showed up here. So here I am, and I guess we're going to do stuff. So cool.
That's how it works. We just randomly send out links to people and just see who's silly enough to click on it. And now you're trapped. And now you have to battle to the death against these other people. Oh, no!
Let's do this thing.
We have two gentlemen joining us for the first time. Right down below me here, I have Mr. Gobo. How's it going, Gobo?
Hey, Q, thanks so much for having me, Project Nerd. Everybody watching, thank you so much. I am Gobo. I'm coming here from Lunar Harpoon is my media outlet. We do all sorts of things with collectibles, movies, music, anything your nerd heart's desire. So thank you so much for having me, and very nice to meet you gentlemen as well.
Our absolute pleasure, and I'll tell you what, there are a bunch of nerd hearts out there, so... You're speaking directly to your crowd, my dude. Directly to your crowd.
Perfect.
All right. Now joining you, let's see if I can do this the right direction. Down and to my, well, my left here, Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, Q? How's it going, guys?
Fantastically well, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know where I am. I don't know whose apartment this is, but... This was on, and it said watch camera, so that's what I'm
Perfect.
Doing.
Excellent. So kind of like Mr. Z, instead of just finding a link, you found someone's house, and you're like, I'm going to go in there and see what's going on.
There's a little B&E action, but why not? It's Wednesday.
Hey, listen, all good things usually start with a little B&E.
That's true.
That's all I'm saying.
That's.
I don't know if that's factual. No one should fact check that, but I'm pretty sure that that is accurate.
I like it. I'll go with it.
Well, I'm going to give you guys, our new guys, a quick rundown of the rules. And for our audience who are tuning in for the first time, the way that this game works is pretty simple. In a few seconds, we're going to start round one, and I'm going to ask you all two questions. Those questions will be, or excuse me, you will answer each of those questions individually, and then I will judge the answers that you provide, and I will award points for said answers. How do you get awarded points? What sort of like ranking scale do I award them on? Just whatever I feel like in the moment. That's how it works, man. We are doing whose line is it anyway rules here. Points don't matter, but they do matter. It's a weird thing where they don't matter, but they do matter. Because if you don't have them, you don't get to continue the game. But if you do have them, like, I guess you just made me happy. So everybody's a winner. And then we're going to go through that three times, ending with one final face-off between two of you going head-to-head over one final question. And the winner of that question gets the most coveted prize in the universe, the last word, which is 60 unfettered seconds to say whatever you want to say. Hopefully, it's not something that gets our network taken off of the air. Simple enough, right? Excellent. Well, enough jabberjawing. Let's get directly into round one. Oh, that was nice. What nice music. Mr. Z, that's new music since the last time you were on.
I noticed.
Normally, it was just me going, round one. Yeah, it is. Cool. Here it is, round one. But now... We're just stepping up production value for this new season of The Last Word. It's just through the roof, throwing all sorts of money at it.
Right.
Question one, round one, my fine gentlemen, here we go. We are hot off the heels of Colorado Springs Comic-Con, Project Nerd's first convention back in almost 2 years. And boy, are we riding that post-con high. Now, If you could create a convention, what would it be and why? I think I'm going to go with, because I saw him at this convention, I think I'm going to go with Gobo first. Gobo, what do you got for me?
All right. So there's so many different kind of conventions. So we're talking comics, sci-fi, literature, anything. So one thing that I've never really seen, how about a convention dedicated solely to movie soundtracks? So we're talking like, you know, John Williams, Huey Lewis in the News. And that way we can kind of co-mingle musical guests and guests from film. So we're thinking, you know, you have a wide ranges of merch, all sort of cosplay opportunities, as well as after hours. Why not have a few concerts? So that would be my idea if I could do any kind of convention on my own.
Oh, I like that. I will say that that was actually a conversation that came up during the con this past weekend. We were talking about how cool would it be to have a convention that also had bands, like a concert, right? Like a music festival and convention. And that seems like the perfect place for that. So that sounds awesome. I love that idea. Mike, what do you got for us?
Not a thing. I'd actually have a convention.
No conventions.
No conventions at all. I would say a con for cons.
Oh,
the people who run cons.
Can we call it like Metacon?
Ubercon.
I really like this idea.
Where convention runners and that can get together and trade ideas, because some cons are great. Some cons aren't so great.
Discuss the trade secrets of having a convention.
Yeah, because, you know, we all got to get along.
It's true.
Everyone's got to get along.
I don't know if you know this, but conventions tend not to play well with each other. So true. That would be a very interesting con. It may be more like an episode of Jerry Springer than like everybody coming together to like be friends. But I'd be willing to see it out, and it's definitely something I'm interested in.
Well, I can also see a little fight club action going on, too, at this con.
It's after hours. At post-con fight club, every day during convention.
That's right.
Mr. Z, what do you think? What do you got for us? Uh-oh. Is he frozen? Mr. Z, if you can hear us, you can come out of the Phantom Zone now. Oh, no. I think he may be frozen. All right. Well, this is going to be an even shorter round. We were already starting with three contestants. It looks like now we're only going to have two contestants. We're just jumping straight to the third round, but I'm going to make you guys go through all the questions. Oh, there he is. There he is. Whoa, there's two of you, Mr. Z. Check that out.
That's fucking weird. Sorry about the language. I don't know how that happened.
You are somehow our second and fourth contestant, so now you have to compete against yourself.
That's going to be hard. There I go. I'm out. There we go. I already scared myself away.
You forfeited. Freaked out, was like, I can't do this. There must be some sort of weird like time continuum thing.
Wait a minute. Are we sure this is the real Mr. Z, or is this an imposter?
Well, there's no way to know. So we don't know. I could have called an emergency sub in right now.
Blue's
my,
the imposter.
My twin brother. Yeah, who knows, right? Who knows?
My turn? Maybe real Mr. Z. What are your thoughts on a convention?
So this is really interesting, because last show we kind of tapped into my conspiracy theory. Right, I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist, and I'm convinced that when I start talking about certain things, it pisses off my FBI agent, and he starts messing with my internet and like getting me all glitchy. And I literally was just thinking about my answer, and I'm totally going to go this in an entirely different direction than everyone else, because you guys are right. You talked about there is a con for, like, I try to think about, okay, so if I was going to do a con for something, what would it be? And there's literally a con for everything if you look hard enough, sure. Right? So I decided to take it a different direction. And think about the direction I would go, like, legit, if I really could, I would call for a convention of states. A convention of states allows us to invoke Article 5 of the Constitution, and then we could amend the Constitution to limit the power and jurisdiction of the federal government and impose fiscal constraints on them.
Whoa. That was, I mean, I feel like that is correct. Like, I feel like that is good, but I also have zero knowledge of how the government works. So I'm going to take your word for it, since you are actively running for governor, that seems pretty legit.
Yeah, only 34 states need to sign on. We're good.
I love it. All right, so, oh man, this is off to a good start. I like it, I like it, I like it. All right, question number two. You guys ready? Question number two. We finally got our very first trailer for the highly anticipated Spider-Man No Way Home. In it, we had hints and sneak peeks of both Alfred Molina as Doc Ock and Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin. All very exciting stuff. But my question is this. Are these trailers giving away too much? Would you have preferred to be surprised by these reveals during the film? Or if you were intentionally avoiding the trailer, are you sad that I spoiled it for you right now? Let's start with Mike. What do you think?
Honestly, it gave just away enough, because I know there's more coming, and I have a little bit of superhero film fatigue. Where it's like, oh, okay, they're going to destroy, bad guys are going to destroy the world again. Oh, okay, we get it. No, there's no jeopardy. I don't feel jeopardy. With the Spider-Man films, I feel like they're going on a pretty good clip. I enjoy them. But they shouldn't give away any more. I think they should stay true to the fan base, tease us, get us in the seats, because I was like, okay, another Spider-Man film. I'll go eventually. Now I want to go opening day. So I think It's important to tease the audience with something. And I was reluctant to watch the trailer, but because I didn't want anything spoiled. But seeing Alfred Molina, one of my favorite character actors, I was like, chef's kiss, baby. Sure. That was cool. So I totally get that. Yeah, I think that they should just be smart about it. You know, and I'm glad that they did it that way. They gave us just enough. And we kind of, as nerds collectively, we kind of know what to expect or hope to expect.
Sure.
But I think they're going to give us a lot, you know, when we actually see the film. And hopefully they won't spoil anything else in the trailers to come.
I like that answer. I like that answer a lot. Mr. Z, what do you got for me?
So fun fact. I've not seen a single one of the Marvel superhero movies. Not seen a one.
What?
Not one. Amazing. Not a one. No. It's a fun fact, right?
Intentionally?
So now it's kind of become a thing. So it started out as like I just didn't have time. I was working a couple of jobs. I didn't have the money to go to movies. It just didn't seem right to me. And then I got to a point where it just kind of became challenge accepted. Is this something I can do? And now that's where I'm at. I wouldn't have. Honestly, I wouldn't have paid attention to this trailer at all had you not sent me a link to it and said, "Hey, check this out." So I looked at it, and I'm pretty well convinced that I've saw the best 3 minutes of that movie.
But with no context whatsoever for what came before it. Okay, it doesn't. I actually like the idea. It is a very interestingly funny concept to me that if someone's only knowledge of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is through the trailers for the films. Like, it's like a weird truncated version.
I can tell you what happens in all of them. I've seen the trailers. I know what happened in all of them.
Sure, for sure, definitely. I do kind of wonder, though. I wonder, what major... plot points would have to kind of infer, and I wonder how close they would be. I almost want to do a second series of just short videos with you where you and I talk through what has happened this far in the Marvel Universe as far as you know. And as far as you understand.
All right, cool.
I really like this. That's really funny. All right, cool. Gobo, what do you got for me?
Okay, so I have seen the Marvel Cinematic. And to Mike's point, Alfred Molina, top five ever performance as a superhero villain, as Doc Ock. He's marvelous. I didn't do that on purpose, I promise.
Marvelous.
I know, so meta. Okay, so I have a couple of points here. Is that one, with the expanding, like, the amount of trailers and the amount of footage shown in trailers, I really don't have an issue with it, because if you look at, like, Disney and the way that they produce Marvel movies, the runtimes of the films are exceptionally long. I mean, if you look at, like, Endgame was like 2.5 hours long. So, I mean, I feel like they literally cannot cover all the plot points in a 3-minute trailer. And then on top of that, I look at, like, Far From Home. And, like, when I saw the trailer for that, I was like, okay, so we got Molten Man, we got Mysterio, we got the MJ love story. I know everything about this movie. And I was genuinely surprised at a few of the plot points, especially, and I won't ruin it for the viewers if you haven't seen, like, Mr. Z, I'm not going to ruin that movie for him. There was a very serious plot point that you absolutely had to see the movie for. If you are a comic follower, you know what it is already, but I was genuinely surprised by that movie, and I feel like it got exactly the same preview treatment that the new Spider-Man got.
Well, I like that answer too. I think these are all well thought answers. I'll give you my opinion. So, as somebody who is well versed in the superhero movie verse, if you will, I have gotten what I like to call, and it's kind of, Mike, I think you referenced kind of something like this, but I have gotten what I call Marvel trailer fatigue. And the problem is that all of the Marvel trailers, in my opinion, all kind of run together in my head. Like, they're all kind of the same trailer. And I had this discussion on a previous or a different series on Project Nerd. And we were talking about the fact that I used to get really hype when I saw Marvel trailers. And then for some reason, somewhere around, like, Endgame, maybe, or the Infinity Wars, somewhere around there, my interest in the trailers started to wane. And I would see a trailer and I would just be like, okay, that's a Marvel trailer. Like, it didn't, like, it almost, like, burned me out on it somehow. And that happened when the Black Widow trailer came out. I was just like, okay, like, that looks like a movie. And then when the Shang-Chi trailer came out, I was like, yep, that looks like more Marvel stuff. Cool. I will say the only trailer so far that I have not had that reaction with was, interestingly enough, the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer. And I think the reason is because it genuinely showed me something different than what I have seen in all the other trailers. Because in all the other trailers, you get, you know, a big action set piece. You get the characters that you already know and are accustomed to. You get some sort of quippy joke. You get some sort of, like, sad, sappy moment that makes you wonder if these characters are never going to talk to each other again. But in this movie, or in this trailer, I got characters from other, like, Spider-Man franchises. And for some reason, that, like, tripped that wire in my brain that was like, okay, this is interesting now. I don't know what's happening anymore. It was almost the equivalent as if, like, in the Endgame trailer, suddenly Fox's X-Men showed up. And I was just like, what? Like, my brain doesn't comprehend this anymore. So it automatically raised my excitement level. So all good answers, all thought out. Mr. Z is the most interesting, mainly because I think you may be the only human on the planet, considering that I think the MCU has now made, like, I don't know, $20 billion. You may be the only person on the planet who has not seen any of the Marvel movies up to this point. But it looks like, here, other people are agreeing. Mr. Z is now my favorite contestant, and I hope to debate with him in the future. How can you miss 10 years of film? That is legendary-ish. I do like it. That is legendary-ish right there.
I think that when this is all said and done, if it's all ever said and done, the Marvel Universe, the cinematic universe, Mr. Z has to watch every movie from the beginning.
Yes.
Back to back No sleep.
Nonstop. Yeah, we need to do it. We need to do it like Clockwork Orange reprogramming style, where we just like prop your eyes open and you have to like take in the entire MCU.
I'm feeling like a charity event right here where people donate and we make Mr. Non-stop Z
stream.
Sit down and watch Marvel movies for three straight days until he's done.
Let's rent a theater for him.
I like this. Listen, if viewers out there think that that's a great idea, please chime in now.
Yeah.
That could be like a platform that for your governorship.
We could do a fundraiser.
Yes, exactly. Here's the fundraiser. I have never seen a Marvel movie, and I will sit down and I will watch them all for charity.
I will watch them all if I raise this much money. Perfect.
I love that. Joey has now renamed it the MZU.
Wow.
I like this very much. All right. It's time to award points, fellas. All right, so let me make sure I got everything tallied here correctly. And okay. All right, so at the end of round one, Gobo, I liked both of your answers. First off, let me address the music con or soundtrack con, if you will. I think that's a fantastic idea. As someone who is obviously an avid collector, one of the other things that is not in this video shot is that I collect movie soundtracks. And so, without even knowing it, that spoke directly to my heart, because that is one convention that I would definitely be attending. Like, hands down, tell me where Soundtrack Con is and I will be there, especially if I get the opportunity to see some of the composers, meet some of the composers, people who have worked on some of these films. Because as many people know, and some people don't, I truly believe that music is like the backbone of what makes a good film, right? Like, you can show the same scene with two different style soundtracks and it can completely change the feeling and tone of that scene. So if you don't have good music to accompany a scene, or doesn't even have to be music sometimes in the case of like Hans Zimmer's experimental stuff, it's just sounds or hums, but they can totally change what the mood and feeling of a movie is. So for that one, you got 5 points, like out of the gate, 5 solid points.
Real quick, there is actually it's not a convention, but there is a get together in Burbank, California, and I will give you the info. It's not a true big convention.
Sure, but it's like a gathering of soundtrack lovers.
Yep, and composers sometimes.
All right, well, it looks like you just earned yourself an extra bonus point for informing me of that. I told you, the rules are crazy, man. Who knows what's going to happen here? So, Mike, we'll actually get to you next. So, with your answer, I really like Metacon 2. I think that's a fun idea. And if for nothing else, I really want to see the drama that unfolds when all these like regional conventions gather together and are like, my con's better than your con. And then they have nightly fight clubs to determine the true supremacy of a con. I love this idea. I think that's funny. So originally I awarded you 4 points, but by that little tidbit of information you got, it gained you an extra point. So you are now tied with Gobo with 5 points at the end of question one. Okay. 5 points. Mr. Z, I liked your answer. I really did. But here's the problem. I don't know politics. So what you said sounded like a thing, but I don't know how to award points to that. So what I did was I gave you points, but I gave you 3 points for that answer, mainly because everybody knows this game show is about pandering to me. That's all it is. This is just a big vanity ego stroke for me every episode. But 3 points is still respectable.
I learned that last time.
And then we've got question two, Gobo. I gave you 4 points for question two. Once again, solid answer. Totally respect it. Understand. Mike, I gave you 3 points for question two. And Mr. Z, I gave you 5 points for question two, just because I thought it was awesome, 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 awesome that you that you haven't seen an MCU movie. And I still, like, my brain is having a hard time comprehending that, but I believe it. So at the end of round one, we find ourselves in a little bit of a bind here. Because Mr. Z, that leaves you with 8 points. Mike, that leaves you with 8 points. And Gobo, that leaves you with 9 points. So that means we need a tiebreaker between Mike and Mr. Z. So we're going to go to the Old Faithful, right? The easiest tiebreaking question of them all. What is better, Star Wars or Star Trek? Mike, you get to go first.
Star Wars.
Okay. Why? Do you know why?
Because it was the thing that made me want to make movies. I saw it when I was six. It changed my life. And okay. Ruined it at the same time, technically, but... you know.
It definitely hurt my wallet.
Yeah, that too.
Mr. Z, thoughts?
I have to concur. It's hands down Star Wars. In fact, if you look earlier in my answer, I said one of the reasons why I hadn't seen any of the Marvel movies is because I couldn't justify spending money on those movies. I can tell you another fun fact. The only movies I've actually seen in the theater in the last 10 years have been Star Wars films.
Okay. Man, I thought that was going to be a deciding factor, but it's not. You both are correct. All right. Another one. Ready? Here we go. Rock, paper, scissors for the deciding point. It's the all-time tiebreaker. You ready? On the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, shoot. What do we got? Scissors and scissors. All right. Go again. Ready? One, two, three, shoot. Scissors and paper. Mr. Z, I'm so sorry. The fates have spoken. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you back at the end of the episode. Everybody say bye to Mr. Z.
Bye, Mr. Z.
Bye, Mr. Z. We love you.
Man, a brutal blow you delivered with a classic game of paper, rock, scissors. You know what I'm saying? You never know. You never know how things are going to go here on The Last Word. But I do know what's going to happen right now, and that is we are going to go to round two. Beat it, beep, boo, round two. All right, question one, round two. Staying on the topic of conventions, they are an amazing place to potentially meet your childhood hero, celebrity, or creator guest. Regale me with your best celebrity encounter, and close encounters will work as well. Let's go with Mike. Mike, what's your best celebrity encounter?
Best celebrity encounter at a convention, correct?
Sure. Yes.
Can't stray away from a convention. Has to be convention.
I mean, it can potentially. I would like it to stay at conventions, but if you're like, I've never been to a convention, then that's fair.
I'll give you a good convention story.
Okay, great.
Do you know who Angeline is?
You broke up a little bit. Say that again.
Do you know who Angeline is?
I know several Angelines.
This is the billboard Angeline in Los Angeles. Okay. There's a woman. Okay.
The very famous Angeline.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
About six or seven years ago at Stan Lee's Kamikaze here in Los Angeles, I was in the green room waiting for Bruce Campbell to get done signing because we were going to go to dinner. And I was alone, and in walks Weird Al. And Weird Al and I just start having a conversation because I'm the only one there. He's the only one there. We just start talking. And in stumbles Angeline, who is – the word vapid comes to mind. I don't think she knows where she is ever.
Sure.
And she's not the sharpest bulb on the porch, if you know what I mean.
Aloof, if you will.
She's I would what's beyond aloof? Like dumb as a
brain dead.
Yeah, there you go. So in walks Angeline, and she looks at me and she says, "Oh, hi, I'm Angeline. Who are you?" I said, "I'm Mike." She's like, "Oh, what do you do?" And I said, "I'm a filmmaker, but you've never heard or seen of any of the things I've done." And she turns to Al, and she's like, "Hi, I'm Angeline. What's your name?" And he goes, "I'm Al, Weird Al Yankovic. And what do you do?" She had no clue. And I said, "You've never heard of Weird Al? Eat it. I know another one, you know, rides the bus. He's like only the premier parody songwriter in the universe."
What? How just dare blank, she?
I know. Just blank stares. And at one point, me and Al were just looking at each other like, wow. So I would have to say, then he got saved, jerk. John Paragon walked in, good old Jombie, and he was like, he looked at me and he went, he gave me this look like, "You're on your own, buddy." Got up, was like, "John," and hugged John, and they left. So I had to sit with Angeline for about 5 minutes until I couldn't stand it anymore, and I had to get out of there. But I did get her business card for whatever reason.
Do you still have it to this day?
I do. I wish I had it close to me, but I do still have it, that stupid business card somewhere. So I would have to say meeting Weird Al was pretty damn cool.
Amazing. I love it. That is a great story indeed. Gobo, do you have something that can compete with the Angeline Weird Al crossover story?
You know, I was going to say, I think Mike's looking at my paper here, because I was going to say two of the coolest ones were Weird Al. But I only got to meet him in a green room and we spoke briefly before I was shooed away. And then also Bruce Campbell, who is like the coolest human being on the planet. One of my celebrity encounters, tops all of them. And I met the actor who played, Boba Fett and, Jeremy Bullock at a convention, I think in like 2013 and 14. And this is even more special to me now since he recently, has moved on to his next life here. But Jeremy was so incredibly kind, and I had him sign I am an avid action figure collector, so I always have actors sign figures of themselves, and so I brought him a Star Wars Unleashed flat-backed Boba Fett figure, and he had never seen one in real life, and he starts gushing over this figure. He's like, and forgive my terrible British accent, he's like, "Oh, this is the best one. This is the best figure of myself," and he was so excited, and I was like, I started feeding off of his excitement, so my heart started beating really fast, and I was like, "Gobo, you're talking to Boba Fett right now." Like, it was like, I was keeping my cool for a second. And then I was just like, ah, I was like, I went blank. You know, when you go blank, when you meet somebody that's just like, that's so important to you. And so, and he was just incredibly kind. He signed my Boba Fett with his special Sharpie color of Boba Fett green that was made just for him and distributed by Sharpie themselves. And so, it's the most special thing I own. It's in this glass case behind me. And, you know, God bless him. And then, you know, if his family is watching, he was a wonderful, wonderful human being.
I love that. It's always cool when you can get stars excited about like how cool they are. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times I feel like, you know, depending on the scenario, but there are lots of situations where you can talk with a celebrity and they're like excited to be there, but it doesn't really translate like, "No, man, like, you're really awesome. And I think you're really awesome. And I want you to be as excited about you as I am." And so it is very cool to hear that story. Great answers. Both you guys loved it. Loved it. Let's hit up question two and then I can judge you. Question two, Emily Van Camp, AKA Sharon Carter in the MCU, recently announced that she will not be coming back for Fox's The Resident television series. What do you think that means for Captain America 4 and future Disney Plus TV series? Let's go with Gobo.
So I personally don't think it's going to make a huge impact. I think that, you know, Sharon Carter is a very important character in Captain America lore and Avengers lore, but I think that her character has been beautifully understated in the cinematic universe. I think that she was a plot device in the first Avenger. She made appearances in the other Avengers films. And then in the Marvel kind of TV universe, she held a little bit bigger of a stake, but I don't think, and I feel like also Disney, they get what they want. So if they're going to make a quality product, I think they can do it without that particular actress. I think that they could subtly recast her. I think they could use CG and kind of like gradually work her out of the plot. I don't see it as being a negative impact. And I mean, even though she's a lovely actress, I don't think that it's going to be as detrimental as people are thinking it is.
All right. Interesting. Fair. Mike, what do you think?
I actually think, I know when they did the Falcon and Winter Soldier, she was brought in more because of the COVID stuff.
Yep.
And them trying to maintain the integrity of the Disney/Marvel quality of show. And I think personally, I think she's going to show up more often in future episodes of said show and not be as cool and awesome and helpful as she was in the first season. I think
spoiler free for those who have not seen it yet.
Yes. Sorry. I think she's going to come back and I think she's going to come back stronger and surprise us all.
Okay. I like it. I like it. I like it. Let's see here. I'm going to award points. I forgot that we were playing a truncated version of the game. So I'm not going to tell you what I awarded. And we're going to move straight into round three because these numbers are just going to, they're going to keep adding. So are you guys ready for the final most important question that you've ever been asked in your entire life? No pressure. But your answer to this could save the universe. All right, like I said, no pressure at all. Just easy peasy. It's only the entire fate of your nerd integrity that hangs in the balance. That's it. No big deal. But Tom Cruise insisted that Val Kilmer be included in Top Gun 2. Leading to his voice being recreated via AI for the movie. Between Star Wars movies, AIing Grand Moff Tarkin, Fast and the Furious digitally recreating Paul Walker, and now this, what is Hollywood's future in the world of AI, and will they ever be able to overtake and surpass that uncanny valley? Let's go with Mike first on this one. Mike, what do you think?
Who's Tom Cruise? No,
some guy.
Never heard of him. No, honestly, I think that we're gonna see more of it. See more of this AI stuff, and I think it's just gonna improve and improve and improve until one day it improves so much that we won't be able to tell, and that by too late, it'll be too late, and we'll all be human slaves to the robot overlords. But I honestly
Peter
think
Cushing's, the digitally recreated Peter Cushing's.
Yes, or Princess Leia's, the Carrie Fisher's. It's a little weird. I mean, obviously, it's still a little weird. Unless Weta's doing it, then it's a little better. But I don't think it'll ever. They're never going to get the eyes right. They're going to get close, but
sure,
the eyes are the windows of the soul. So I think. We'll always
so
be
you're, in your personal opinion, we're in no fear of like having a fully like populated with dead actors film anytime soon on the horizon.
I didn't say that.
Maybe we are.
But they won't get it right.
That's fair. Like, okay.
Completely. They won't get it right. They may come really friggin' close, but
sure.
When it's all said and done, it's going to be like, we know Bruce Lee is dead. Why is he fighting sure. Keanu Reeves?
Do you guys remember when those Orville Redenbacher commercials first started coming out? I don't even remember. This is like 10, 15 years ago, maybe. And they like digitally recreated Orville Redenbacher, mm-hmm. the old man off the popcorn box. And it was unsettling.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
I wanted to kill it with fire. It was bad. Gobo, what are your thoughts?
You know, You know, and I think that you know, to your guys' point, I think the technology and the artistic integrity will probably at some point get to where you cannot tell the difference between an artificial and a real human being. That being said, film to me is an art, and I think that like art is, you know, it's subjective, but it's also cyclical. So it's like, let the past die. Let it appreciate it for what it is and the time frame that it is, that it was in, and let new things be birthed. And so, and I think that's probably an issue really societally, is that we're so hungry for nostalgia. And as nerds, I mean, we're probably the biggest culprits, but it's like, and it's the same culture that creates endless remakes, some of them great, some of them terrible, endless sequels, just nonstop, to where these artistic properties are liquidated until they're almost nothing. And so that's why it's like, at this point, we have the technology to, we don't even need the human actors to be alive anymore. That's a scary thought to me in the history, on the future of cinema. So I hope it's not a thing, but if profit dictates anything, it probably will be.
Ugh, man, you got real with it.
I know, right? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm
sad Hollywood facts.
It is, yes.
Another weird factoid to throw out there. Have either of you gentlemen seen the new Anthony Bourdain documentary?
Yes.
Okay. So you're aware that they had him narrate his own documentary post-death. Yes. So they used AI to recreate Anthony Bourdain's voice and had him narrate his own documentary post-death. And there's been some news about this. His wife spoke out and said, like, there's no way in hell that Anthony Bourdain would have been cool with that. And there was some legal issues about it. That is where things start to make me nervous. You know what I mean? Like, one day when I'm super famous, as I will be, I kick the bucket, which I most likely will, as far as I understand, I don't know that I want, like, somewhere in my clause that I signed with some production company 30 years prior that says that they can use my likeness posthumously. I don't know that I dig the idea of just being, like, digitally resurrected and used to, like, sell fried chicken or whatever. Like, I don't know that I'm 100% on board with that. So, Gobo, when you were saying that, that is kind of the dark future that I see, is, like, I think more and more, you know, we may get, back in the day with overall contracts from movie studios, right? Like, you would have these big sweeping overall contracts from, like, Warner Brothers and so on and so forth. And I think that may be the future somewhat, is that, like, when you do a contract with a studio and you're making films, I think at some point we're going to start reaching that they own your likeness in regards to that character in perpetuity. So it's like, if I want to put you in the movie, even if if we run into a Back to the Future 2 situation and you don't want to come back as George McFly, instead of having to like dress someone up to look like you, I can just digitally put you in the film and not have to pay you anything else.
They can kind of do that now, though. They just have to throw money at them.
Exactly. But I think I fear that we're going to a place where like that will be in your initial contract, like negotiated. Mm-hmm.
By the way, I think you should only posthumously sell fried chicken.
Absolutely. Yeah.
that's specifically in my rider right now. Like I've been hitting up Kentucky Fried Chicken for years, trying to get them to like buy the rights to my likeness to sell chicken after I'm dead. For some reason, they won't return my calls. And I've actually gotten a couple restraining orders. Again, sorry, Jerry, the manager at the Kentucky Fried Chicken in Atlanta. I apologize. I'm not coming anywhere near the store. But if you want to use my likeness, here it is. There's plenty of it on the interwebs. But great answers all around, guys. I'm going to go ahead and award points here, and we will see where we are at. For this final question, I think you both gave fantastic answers, so I'm going to give you both a 5. So I'm going to tally your points from the previous round, of which I didn't reveal to you. So Mike, you got 4 points for the first question in round two. You got 5 points for the second question in round two. Gobo, you got 5 points for the first question in round two, and you got 4 points for the second question in round two. So if I do the math here, we've got 8, 4, 12, 17, 23. Mike, that brings you to a grand total of 23 at the end of round three. And Gobo, that brings you to a grand total of 17. That can't be right. Is that right? No, 24. Yeah. Gobo, you are tonight's winner with 24 points, beating Mike out by 1 point. That's how tight this race was. 1 point, my friend. So we're going to quickly say goodbye to Mike for a few minutes. And Gobo, I'm going to give you the floor here.
Mike, bye, Mike. We'll see you. Gentleman and a scholar.
And okay. Gobo, are you ready? You want to prepare for a second before I kick you?
Oh my goodness.
Into
I'm beside myself. I am completely unprepared for this, but I'm sure I can come up with some nonsense.
But I'm sure I'll manage. All right, right, hold on 1 second. We are going to kick it over to your winner statement. Do-do-do-do-do-do. It's the last word, Gobo's last word.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on the Nerd Project. With my 60 seconds, I'm going to talk about collectibles. Now, as you can see me, I'm surrounded by toys. They all have various degrees of worth and sentimental value to me. But I want to tell you, the majority of these things were pulled out of attics, thrift stores, garage sales. Like, if you feel overwhelmed about getting into a new hobby, I promise you there is gold in those hills and there are treasures to be found. If you want to find treasures like these at a reasonable level, you can check out my sales site, The Toy Box, on Facebook. It's ran by the best people on the internet, next to my friends at The Nerd Project, of course. So please check us out, The Toy Box. Gobo Moran, I am one of the moderators. Also, check out my friends Scotty Levine and Stormy John. They are also there as well. So thank you so much. Please keep collecting. Keep our hobbies alive. You know, take care of each other. Be safe. We are still in a pandemic. Wear your masks. Get vaccinated. Don't want to be political, but please be safe whatever route that you choose. I don't know. How much time do I have left here?
That's it.
That's it. Oh, my goodness. I'm perfect. So proud,
Gobo. What a great statement. I'm going to bring back Mike and Mr. Z. Hey, thank you, gentlemen, again so much for joining us for this episode of The Last Word. Sincerely appreciate you all. We'll quick go around. Where can everybody find you, Mr. Z? If people want to find more info about you, where can they find it?
Well, since I only got to talk about the convention of states today, votezimmerman.com. That would be the best place to come and talk, learn more about my run for governor of Nebraska. So I'm also all over the Facebook at Mr. Z Comedy if you want to check out the comedy stuff.
Perfect. Excellent. Mike, where can people find you?
I don't know. Remember, I broke into this house.
I'm just in somebody's house.
The real Mike is buried in the back room.
I know I'm on Facebook at facebook.com/filmmike, 2 M's, and I'm around IMDb. I wish I had a real website, but I don't yet. So because I'm old and near the internet,
I don't know websites.
But you can find me.
Thank you. And Gobo, one last opportunity. Where can folks find you?
So you can check me and my partners at Lunar Harpoon out at lunarharpoon.com. There's links to all our major socials there. We are on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. We do have an active TikTok, if that's your thing. It's definitely new to me. As young as I am still way too old to be doing that still. Either way, yeah, definitely. Also, you can check us out on The Toy Box. It is our toy sales group on Facebook. We would more than welcome any one of you to join as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys again so much. Much appreciated. And until next time, you guys be safe, be good to each other, and get vaccinated.